Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I'm Mark Cook, along with longtime publisher and handsome devil himself, Mr. Scott Reynolds.
It me.
And the other guy.
I threw you there, didn't I, Millennial?
No, that was good. That was good.
Just the other guy.
Some internet speak.
Over there.
That was good.
I'm not going to lie, Trevor. I'm digging the new hair.
Thanks, man.
Like, it's taking everything I have not to just reach over and run my hands through it right now.
There's not much to run through, but I don't.
It's pretty tight.
I know.
It's tight. Pretty tight. You guys didn't even notice my new TV hair.
No, I did. I said something to you when you got a cut, but
I don't think it looks exactly
I wasn't going to say it on the podcast because it's not a visual medium.
Yeah. Apparently, you're not allowed to wear hats on television, so I had to go get a haircut and trim my beard.
There you
and
go.
And clean my earwax.
Channel 8's going to be happy about that.
And trim my nose hairs.
And that too.
Speaking of Channel 8, if you're listening to this on Sunday, you can catch Trevor tonight, which would be Sunday night on the Sports Sunday Show, the big spectacular they do every Sunday night. Trevor's going to be on with Dan Lucas and Annie Sabo tonight. Scott, you did a segment with Annie today that will be on WFLA.com. We'll have that up on PewterReport.com later today, too. So make sure you check out all of our work that we do with Channel 8, if you don't mind. And make sure to follow Channel 8 on Twitter and Instagram. And, of course, watch it on television because it will be your best source for Buccaneer news and coverage throughout the season, because they're the official partner of the Buccaneers to handle their preseason and all of the other good stuff that they do. So check out Channel 8, Dan Lucas, Annie Sabo, Gabrielle Shirley.
At WFLA.
So anyway, day four wrapped up today, guys. Am I right?
First day in pads.
Yes.
And boy, that was nice to see. Again, Scott brought this up on our last podcast. Watching these guys run around in shorts and just helmets, it's really like a glorified OTA.
Yeah.
But man, when they get the pads on, and while they're not really dropping guys to the ground and taking heads off. Well, that's true. Quan always does.
Yes.
Just the sound and the pop, it just brought the intensity level up quite a bit from what we saw earlier in the week.
It's real football. And I think, too, with that comes some injuries. And we had a couple today, some big ones. Vita Vea going off the field. Don't know if he got kicked in the shin or had a calf injury, but that was the part of his leg that was wrapped up. It was his left leg. And he walked off the field under his own power, went to the sidelines, carted off, and then walked into the locker room. Leonard Wester, who has been playing really well at right tackle for Damar Dotson. Damar is cleared to play, but the team is holding him out, and I think wisely so, from 11-on-11 periods and also from one-on-one pass rush.
Is he going to play Tuesday? Because they have a day off on Monday. Do you think Damar is going to play Tuesday?
I think he is because of this injury for sure, because Leonard Wester was playing well.
If not, then
it's the Brad Seaton show for all of practice.
Yeah.
And Cole Boozer and Cole Gardner, those guys will get some playing time, Dirk Cutter said today. But Leonard Wester was actually playing well and holding his own. He's not exactly Damar Dotson, certainly in terms of experience, but a much better than Leonard Wester. He got injured at the end of practice today, got rolled up on in a pile, and that's the downside of having those full padded practices.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, those things can happen even when they're not in full pads, but definitely the intensity ramps up, so you do see that. And as far as the Vita Vea injury goes, I mean, that just clearly points out that this team should have drafted Derwin James, because that would not have happened to Derwin James.
Oh, my God.
Yes, Derwin James is invincible.
I mean, he would have never been anywhere near that pile.
No.
Of course not.
No, absolutely not.
And there's no way that Derwin James would ever have a lower leg injury.
Well, I mean, they replaced that leg when he got hurt against Louisville a couple of years ago with a bionic leg, so it's indestructible.
Well, the other leg is a concern, though.
Well,
it's a 50-50 chance now that he can hurt that leg.
Great. You just jinxed him because you actually did jinx
Leonard Wester. I did jinx
Leonard
Wester, yes.
He was tweeting and raving with him. He and Derek Fournier and myself, we were sitting in the stands.
Yeah.
And he tweeted that, and then all of a sudden Leonard Wester's, you know, crawling off of the sideline in the indoor facility.
He was. He was literally crawling off the sideline.
Literally.
And I felt bad, and I tweeted out that, yep, we just jinxed him. So our new Twitter policy at Pewter Report is we're not going to tweet on anything with any players during practice.
No names.
Yes. A player had a nice catch.
Right.
It was a nice throw by one of the quarterbacks.
That guy did well. Yeah.
Big man on edge gets sacked.
Yes.
But, all right. And let's now that we were in pads, we're able to see things a little bit better. What stood out to you as far as, you know, being in pads? I mean, again, we talk about guys in shorts and how they're all, as my high school coach used to say, you're a bunch of T-shirt All-Americans. Everybody looks great in shorts and T-shirts. But, you know, when physical football happens, that's when the cream of the crop rises.
Yeah.
So who did you see that really kind of stood out?
You know, one of the tweets I had during practice today was that JPP is the best defensive lineman, best defensive end.
Who is that full name, please?
Jason Pierre-Paul.
Okay, just for everybody out there.
Yeah,
there
not Jason Paul-Pierre. It sounds correct. Better to me, Paul-Pierre, but go ahead.
Well, we might want to talk to him about that after.
You think Paul-Pierre sounds better?
Yeah,
I think Pierre-Paul.
Jason Paul-Pierre sounds like a hockey announcer.
Yeah, well, Jason Paul-Pierre or Pierre-Paul, whatever you want to call it, that just sounds like a hockey player. I mean, it's very Frenchy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll buy that. But I think he's looked really good in the OTAs, and obviously, or I should say that the minicamp, he wasn't here for OTAs, but in the days.
Wow, you just had to bring that up, didn't you, Scott?
I did, yeah.
Just hammering home the narrative.
But you know what? Negative evil media.
Evil media, Scott Reynolds over here.
Forget the fact that he missed that time, because it looks like he didn't miss a damn second.
Yeah.
He looks as dominant as advertised, and you see that when the pads come on. The difference between Simeon Rice and JPP, aside from...
Their names are different.
Their names are different.
They're different people.
Different ages, right? Still Buccaneers, but one's retired, one's still playing.
They didn't grow up in the same place.
That's true.
Completely different
Simeon's
DNA.
Simeon's not from Haiti.
Different moms.
Right.
Exactly. But aside from all of those differences, I'll throw one more difference out there, too. JPP is a hell of a lot more physical than Simeon Rice was.
Yeah.
Simeon Rice is more of a finesse guy.
Yep.
JPP is every bit as physical as you would want a defensive tackle to be when they put him in there in the defensive tackle position in nickel rush.
I'm not a fan of that.
I love it.
I just say I'm not a fan of that.
He
don't
is going to
turn JPP into Robert Ayers.
He is a defensive lineman. He's not a defensive end.
The guy is the best pass rusher on this team. Put him on the edge and tell him to go get the quarterback.
Yeah, but
get 12
but
sacks
here's the
this
thing.
Year.
They have to find a way to get Noah Spence on the field because he brings a different dimension with speed off the
edge.
They
don't need that. Why would you try and find a place for a guy who hasn't done a damn thing to move a guy who's a proven veteran difference maker from that position?
Vinny
Why would you do that?
Well, listen, Vinny Curry's going to move inside as well. So there's going to be instances where JPP is going to be on the outside along with Noah Spence, and Vinny Curry and Gerald McCoy will be inside. But there will be instances where Vinny and Noah are outside and JPP is in there with Gerald inside. And I believe that package is going to work well. It's something Brenson Buckner, when I talked to him after practice, he said that back in New York when he was a rookie, his first couple of years, he would do that. Because
Pierre-Paul
would do that because you had...
Yeah. Buckner didn't play in New York.
You had O.C. Umanyora, and you had Justin Tuck on the outside, and you had JPP work on the inside, just like Justin Tuck used to be that inside guy when they had Michael Strahan and O.C. Umanyora. So it's kind of like a graduation type thing, and then when Justin Tuck moved on, JPP was in a full-time outside defensive end. And I believe that anywhere you put this guy in the field, he is going to create havoc. And I like what they're doing on the inside.
You think that he can rush the passer from the tackle position just as well as from the outside?
Absolutely, because you're talking about going against guards who are not as good of an athlete as they are.
But you're also talking about rushing the passer in a refrigerator as opposed to being outside on the edge where you've got more space.
You're going to double team one Pro Bowl caliber guy in Gerald McCoy or the other Pro Bowl caliber guy in JPP.
Well, you're not going to double team Vita Vea because he's not going to be playing because he has a leg injury because he's not Derwin James.
I expect that Vita Vea will return to the field at some point in time, sooner rather than later.
I don't know. You're probably going to go on IR now.
Well, Jason Light does like to put a rookie draft pick on IR.
Oh, God.
That would not be good.
But I don't think it's going to be Vita Vea.
Headlines.
I don't think it's going to be Vita Vea.
I think we can all agree with one thing. There's one guy that should not be lining up to pass rush on third down from the outside.
Will Golston. Yes. Let's talk about some guys. We'll talk about some players that have looked really good. But let's get the bad news out of the way first. There's been a couple players that have been surprises and not in a very positive manner. Will Golston's one of those guys. He's lost weight. He looks great. I did talk to Buckner yesterday about his performance thus far. And, Will Golston's lost 20 pounds. He was 305. Now he's down about 280, so even call it 25 pounds. And when you do that, you're going to lose power along with weight. And Will Golston's a power player. He's not a quick player. He's not a twitchy, fast guy. And so he's picked up a little bit in terms of quickness, but I think it's really affecting his balance.
But you know what else, though? Just William Golston just doesn't have the knack, right?
No, he's not.
For pass
rushing.
He's
not a natural pass rusher
at
all.
He tries to think too much, I think. I should do this, spin outside. He just doesn't have that natural aggression and just that natural talent to be a pass rusher, to beat guys one-on-one. He's a big, immovable force. I think he could really set the edge on rundowns. But, man, he just has not looked good as a pass rusher early. And, again, it is early. You know, you hate to beat guys up, and you can't make roster predictions after 4 days. But that's just one guy. If he's on the field on third down rushing the passer from the outside edge, that means you must have had a ton of injuries. I was going to use a word there, but a lot of injuries.
A certain amount of injuries.
And if you see that guy out there rushing the passer. Well, other guys that have disappointed you,
Brent Grimes. Brent Grimes has had an awful start.
I know
to
you
camp.
Said that, but I don't
know about awful.
No, Brent Grimes doesn't need to have a good awful. Camp. Brent Grimes could do this in
yes,
his sleep.
You're right. He's at going the end to of the day. Yes, agreed. I agree wholeheartedly. Yes, he doesn't need to have a great camp. He's a pro's pro. He will play better on opening day at New Orleans than he will play during training camp. I get that, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
If we're being honest in our reporting and our coverage, he has not looked good.
But it's a little bit of give and take, too, right? Because we've praised the offense a lot over these first 4 days, and Mike Evans especially, and as the number one wide receiver, he's going up against the number one cornerback. So it's been Evans and Grimes kind of going at it.
But it's been all Evans, though.
We've been writing that Evans has looked – focused, determined,
dominant.
Has any cornerback defended Mike Evans at all?
No.
I mean, at this camp? No.
And again, I will say this, Ryan Smith, I'm not saying he's having a bad camp at all. Ryan Smith has not been burned particularly.
Correct.
Hasn't looked terrible. But every time he goes up against Mike Evans,
Evans catches every single time. And remember going into last year, the big talk was – and the year before, it was like Evans working on his drops, working on his hand, you know, because sometimes you'll see that in games. And we're 4 days into practice. Has he dropped one ball?
No.
Literally position drills, 11 on 11, 7 on 7. Anytime the ball was near him, he's caught every single one of them.
Right.
And not only has he caught every single one of them, it's looked completely natural, and it's looked almost expected.
Yes.
Like,
and that's a great term, Trevor.
Like, always throwing it to Evans, here's a catch. Right. It's every time.
That's a great term because having the experience that I had watching guys, and we saw it too with Vincent Jackson, like that level of a player, but watching Keenan McCardell, watching Keyshawn Johnson back in the day, those guys didn't drop balls.
Right.
They just didn't. And when you reach that certain level of professionalism in your career and you've got to that level, that's what's expected. And that's why, too, when you see Jameis Winston, you kind of see how far he has to go because guys like Jeff Garcia and Brad Johnson, they never threw interceptions in practice. It just didn't happen.
Right.
They didn't throw picks. And when they did, it was rare. And it wasn't like it was a bad read or something. The ball might have just slipped out of his hand or you know, his hand might have gotten hit.
Right.
That's really when you know a quarterback's reached a certain level when they just don't throw picks in practice. And I think Jameis will get there, but I mean, the kid's still, 24
years old? I don't know if he'll get
old?
There.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Hopefully.
I mean, it kind of has yet to be determined. But to be fair, these last couple of days, Mark, he's been good. I mean, he went, what did he go, 4-for-4 in that one scrimmage period yesterday?
Yeah, right.
Looked on fire, and then today.
He looked good.
That deep bomb to Jackson is the best throw that he's had to DeSean Jackson in the last 2 years.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
The best
not even,
one.
Not even
I believe that
close.
Yeah, I believe it was 60 yards in the air,
and
he hit DeSean in stride.
And who got beat on that play?
Brent Grimes.
And Keith Tandy.
But yeah. Brent Grimes. It was so beautiful too. It was a little double move. You know, Jackson looked like he was going on a vertical route, cuts inside a little bit. Jameis gives the shoulder pump fake. Then Jackson releases back up the sideline, and then he just loads up and throws that baby 60 yards.
And in stride, too. I mean, DeSean didn't have to slow down, didn't have to speed up. I mean, he just was
somebody,
at his natural speed.
There was somebody on Twitter who was like, DeSean had to let up a little bit. Look, if you consider that play DeSean letting up a little bit,
right.
Then the only person who's ever hit DeSean Jackson in stride is Michael Vick.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And so, like, you can work with however much you want to say that affected Jackson's speed. He was still plenty fast, still plenty ahead of Keith Tandy. I guess you want to put it out a little bit further, but, we're talking
at the same time,
inches.
DeSean Jackson caught the ball in front of him, and he didn't have to turn around,
able to keep running. It was
fine.
And
he still had a three-yard cushion on the nearest Bucs defender.
That's a fine deep ball. That's a very good deep ball.
Yeah,
so.
And they've got to find a way to connect. And, you know, I was the dummy last year who said, you can't overthrow DeSean Jackson. Well, Jameis Winston proved that last year.
Found you a way actually, how to do yeah, that yeah. a lot, actually.
You know, not many yeah. people. You know, I went back when the Buccaneers signed DeSean Jackson. I went back and watched a lot of the highlights of the Redskins and even the Eagles, and really even Kirk Cousins. I mean, you know, a lot of times DeSean almost didn't have to stop, right? But he had to slow down because he is such a fast guy.
It's just hard to get the ball there.
So I thought to myself, well, there's no way. I mean, Jameis can overthrow this guy. But he actually did. But it's getting better. And, you know, say what you want about Jameis and how he's handling the demotion. I don't know because we've only spoken to him just once, and he didn't really get into it a whole lot. But what you do see, you don't see a lack of working because he's still spending 15 minutes every day after practice working with the receivers and tight ends. You know, even though he's dropped somewhat on the
depth chart. He's just more low-key now, and I think that's part of it.
Have you heard him?
No.
Have you?
No.
Even when he's calling the plays and the coverages from the line of scrimmage,
it's not.
I don't hear Jameis'
voice. And that's by design. That's something that Dirk told him. He said, you need to lead from behind and understand that we're not going to have you for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be the guy and then gone for 3 weeks. Now, listen, Jameis was on the sidelines for the 3 weeks he was out last year. He's in the locker room, in the meetings rooms. On the sidelines in practice, he is going to be away from one Buccaneer place for 3 weeks. So you can't have the voided leadership.
That's a long time.
It is.
That's a really long time.
And so this is by design. Dirk is saying you need to tone down the volume. You need to be more focused. Let others lead because you're not going to be here. And I think it took him about two practices to kind of grasp that and understand that.
Yeah, we'll see how he comes out Tuesday.
I have a feeling he's going to be on heavy diaper duty rotation during those 3 weeks.
That's no doubt about it.
His fiance is going to be like, look, you've been at camp.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you for a month. Yeah. Guess what? Next 3 weeks, it's all you.
Oh, no, honey. You don't have to go to work today.
Right.
No.
But I need to watch film.
No, you don't. You call your trainer and you reschedule. You're on diaper duty right now.
Diaper duty.
When do you think we as the media hear from Jameis next? The Monday after week three?
You know, I think we'll probably get him again at some point.
You think?
Yeah, I do. I think they're going to hold it off as long as possible until we just keep requesting, and finally they break down and do it. You know, I don't think Jameis necessarily wants to speak. You know, I said it, and I think we all kind of agreed. It felt like Jameis wanted to say more in that press conference than he did.
Yeah.
But, Scott, you wrote about it in this Fab Five. You know, why can't he? You know, there was a lot of people that were complaining, saying he should address this and he should give specific details and this
and that.
You mean
Tom Jones from the Times?
I'm not mentioning names, but his name rhymes with Ron Moans.
Yeah.
And he works for a paper that rhymes with the Rhymes.
Yeah, we'll have Tom on the podcast, hopefully, just to have some good conversation and dialogue about it. But, you know, strategically, and again, it's kind of funny because I've got a shirt that says PR on it right now. I was a public relations major at Kansas State. I worked for sports information at Kansas State
for
3 years.
Wait a second. You wore that shirt for the Channel 8 thing today?
I did, yeah.
It doesn't say Pewter Report.
Well, Andy Sabo is going to put a graphic on the bottom that says PewterReport.com. Scott Reynolds.
Because they're going to think you work for the PR department of the Buccaneers.
No, it's a different PR department.
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Anyways, I've got a public relations background, so I can look at this thing from both sides of it. And I can actually look at what Jameis said and completely applaud it from the angle of I know exactly what he and the team were trying to accomplish by the vanilla answers and, you know, staying on script and all of that. So I've got a different level of appreciation for it where some of the media members might be like, he's not answering truthfully. He's not answering the questions. Well, he is. And why don't you report why he isn't then? Rather than complaining about it, why don't you take the time to figure out, well, why isn't he saying this? Is it because he's a bad guy and he's not remorseful? No, because if he admits to anything specific or if he apologizes for anything specific, then that becomes incriminating evidence against himself. That's why people take the fifth. So they don't incriminate themselves. There is still a chance that he can have a civil suit brought up against him.
You can go.
It's
coming. You can bet. She hired Erica Kinsman's attorney.
There will be
a civil suit.
Yeah, and later rather than sooner, because as much money as Jameis has already made, he's standing to make $20.92 million next year on his fifth-year option. So
I would just like to make the 9-2 next year.
I would just take the 2. I'll take an extra 2.
Yeah, that's true.
That's fine. But
it's coming.
That's one of the big things. Is
like $20.
And I think the other thing is people have to understand this, and I don't think enough media outlets have really put this in perspective enough. This incident happened over 2 years ago. This happened in March of 2016. We're now almost into August of 2018. And let me just say this. Mark, you know, there was something 2 years ago that happened that all of a sudden I wanted to bring up and emphasize and make you apologize for and make you discuss. Mm-hmm. There's going to be something inside of you that's like, oh, dude, that's fine. That happened 2 years ago. You know, and I think that that's the unfair thing about the NFL sometimes, is sometimes the punishment doesn't always fit the crime, but also the time doesn't always fit the crime either. Like, look at Tom Brady, right? I mean, that Deflategate thing happened, what, a year or 2 years, you know, and then he had the suspension, right? So that's the bad thing about this, is right, all this investigation time, there's never the immediacy, really, with some of these events. I shouldn't say always, but well, sometimes.
But I'm
going to
play devil's advocate here on that, Scott, that point. The type of situation it was, I don't think you can ever say enough time has passed if it actually happened. It doesn't matter if this happened.
The act itself, yes. I mean, there's no excuse.
You know, it's one
inappropriate
thing
behavior.
If you got
there's
a
no
DUI
doubt about it.
2 years ago, right?
Yes.
And another thing I think that bothers a lot of people, Scott, is we would have never known about this if it wasn't for BuzzFeed or whoever broke the story.
TMZ, I
a
think.
Year
right.
later.
No, it was BuzzFeed.
Okay. A year later.
Right.
I mean, Jameis knew that he'd been banned by Uber.
Mm-hmm.
Jameis was probably waiting for this at some point to come out. You know what I mean? Again, I see what you're saying. You're right. I mean, I understand. And part of Jameis's frustration was, and rightfully so to a degree, is, you know, look at everything I've done since then.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But again, he came into this league with baggage.
Yeah.
Fair or not,
character
he
baggage.
Came into
yes.
it. With that, and then something else happened. Now, whether it was 2 years ago or 2 weeks ago, I think that's what kind of frustrates people.
And you
people
said it
to
last
agree.
Week, Mark, he's going to be a target. He is a walking
sure.
target from now on because
sure.
he's not going to get the benefit of the doubt. He is always going to be guilty before proven innocent in the public, the court of public opinion about these types of things. And the best thing he can do is get married, have a child, and be the biggest family man in the
yeah.
world, because if he goes out in a social situation, especially if he's isolated, mm-hmm. you know, like he was in the Uber ride or whatever, he is a target for a cash grab.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And you know, and he's guilty in the court of public opinion regardless
yeah.
of what happens. Whether it was fair or whether what happened is what we've heard, we don't really know.
The only thing that he can do to make this whole thing go away is to never do it again.
Right.
And then 2 years turns into 3 years, turns into 4 years, and then at some point in time, most of the people tend to forget about it, like they have with the Kobe Bryant incident or Ray Lewis,
Ben Roethlisberger,
etc.
I haven't forgot the Ray Lewis. I mean, you know, you stab a guy.
I said that's, most people.
You know, that's
allegedly
don't forget about that.
Allegedly,
stab a guy.
Allegedly.
I mean, allegedly, O.J. Simpson killed two people.
Allegedly,
you know, the court of law said he didn't do it, or the jury did anyway. But anyway, all right. So there we go with Jameis. Let's get past Jameis now. We talked about some of the guys who have performed poorly. We talked a little bit about some decent guys. Who are some other guys, Trevor, on your end that you've seen? Maybe some guys that, I mean, we expect a guy like Gerald McCoy. By the way, Gerald McCoy
looks dominant.
It looks dominant. He kicked everyone's ass in one-on-one drills
yep.
today.
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
it was man against boys, and it yeah. didn't matter if it was starters or backup guys. He just dominated
Caleb
guys.
Benenock might have the hardest job in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
He might be the guy that just like
just retires midway through training camp. Says, I don't want to do this anymore.
I don't think so, but I think that he's probably the guy that says, "Oh crap!" Just when he's putting on the cleats, you know, yeah. going out to practice every day, like it's not going to be fun today.
Yeah,
or tomorrow, or the next day.
Gerald just dominated. But you know, maybe some unheralded guys. By the way, let me bring up one real quick because I'll forget because I'm getting old.
We haven't talked
a lot about Carlton Davis, but I've watched this guy. And he is as advertised, size, wingspan, and when he is allowed to play up close in press, he just neutralizes guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about Mike Evans dominating Ryan Smith and Brent Grimes. There's one guy on this team that will frustrate Mike Evans if they get a chance to go up against each other, and I think mm-hmm. it is him because he is such a big, strong physical force. And that's how you get Mike Evans off of his game, right? That's what
right.
Xavier Rhodes did
yeah.
Last year and a couple other teams. When Mike didn't have good games, it was mm-hmm. because bigger physical cornerbacks.
Patrick
you know,
Peterson.
Just, yes.
Marshawn Lattimore.
Kept him yeah. from getting into his route.
Yeah. No, I think that the Bucs have been pretty happy with all of their new guys. I mean, all of their free agent signings. Bo Allen's been good. Mitch Unrein's been good. Jason Pierre-Paul, obviously we've talked about him there. Vinny Curry. Like, they've been happy with all those guys. And I think that they've been relatively happy with all their draft picks too. I mean, when Vernon Hargraves got that laceration on his shin a couple of days ago, and he's been out the last couple of days of practice.
Shin?
Chin or shin? Or
chin.
Shin or shin?
Shin?
Shin. Shin. Hin. Chin. Hin is the S silent.
Why are you guys saying? Why are you guys? What is this?
Because you kind of said, you said chin.
Shin.
Oh. Yeah, his face is all messed up, man. He's out for weeks. No, his shin on the leg.
He did it again. I've never.
What?
Say the word shin.
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 I'm literally saying, you guys are trolling me.
No, I'm not.
You guys are trolling literally me so hard.
Shin. Shin. You're like, making like the first two letters seven shin. Syllables. So I am hearing
all right,
slash
all right,
shin.
So we got a cut on the lower half of his leg.
Okay.
And below his knee, above his ankle. It could be the calf, though. Or the calf.
I hate you guys. I'm just going to show up and not bring the podcast equipment one day because you guys are doing this to me.
We'll just record on our phones. Probably same quality with you editing it.
But Stewart is Stewart's come in relief for Hargraves in that slot position,
yeah.
And he's been really, really good.
Yeah, he has.
Dirk talked about him today in this press conference. Said, you know what's making MJ Stewart successful in this camp is he's not overwhelmed by the terminology and the playbook. He's a very intelligent guy.
Right.
I didn't know that about the guy. I mean, right. I didn't think he was dumb, but I didn't know how intelligent he was. And
Mark just assumes every football player is dumb.
We are, aren't we?
Dumb jock.
I group myself in there like I've played football in the last 28 years. But, no, I mean, you know, Dirk talked about that. He said, you know, he's a very cerebral guy. And that does make sense. You know, any transition in any job, whatever it is, a promotion you get, doesn't matter if you're selling insurance. I mean, the smarter you are in understanding the business itself, mm-hmm. The easier it's going to be. And he's understanding the business of the playbook and the terminology and things
like
that.
I also think, and I said this on 620 earlier today, what impresses me the most about MJ Stewart throughout OTAs and mini camps and even into this early part of training camp is that he seems to be doing what he needs to do at like an aggressive level, mm-hmm. to make a difference. So instead of saying like, hey, I'm a rookie, I'm acclimating to the NFL, I'm going to give these guys a little bit of cushion because I don't want to get burned over the top because I'm trying to get playing time because I'm new on this team and I want to make the roster. I don't want to get practice squad. So I'm not going to let a big play happen over top of me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a little bit back. MJ seems to be aggressive. He seems to be being really aggressive and putting himself at least in position to make impact plays. And yeah. If it doesn't go his way, if he gets burned for it, he just goes, okay, that didn't work. Yep. I'm going to learn from it, mm-hmm. and I'm going to improve on it. And that's something that has been really noticeable to me over the last
really
2 days.
He looks really natural out there, doesn't he?
Don't you worry, MJ. Mike Smith will coach you out of your aggressiveness. Don't you worry.
No.
This is early in camp.
I hope.
By week one, you're going to forget all about aggressiveness.
I am hoping that's not the case.
Speaking of aggressiveness, right? I think Trev called it. I think Dirk was actually wrong. We saw a very aggressive play right in the first 11-on-11s when the Pats came on today.
Yeah. Quan Alexander's probably had a timer in his house from the moment that the last game
like
ended
one of those
to the
timers.
Next day
yeah,
that he could
took
put
the countdown
on pads
clock out of the locker room
and
yeah,
hit somebody.
House.
And that was today because 4 plays into the first scrimmage, Ronald Jones gets to the second level, and Quan just pops him
back to the first level,
takes him all the way to the ground, which, you know, you're not really supposed to. You're supposed to, you know, hit him, get a little bit of physical, but you're not supposed to wrap him up, take him to the ground. Quan straight up shoulder tackles him hard, wraps him up, forces a fumble, takes him to the ground. I'm sure had some choice words after, you know, after he stood up over.
Welcome to the NFL, rookie.
Yeah, basically. So, you know, probably maybe some expletives in there, you know, who knows.
That might not happen if it's Peyton Barber. I think Quan just said, oh, God, here's the rookie. Yeah. Oh, man.
If I'm Quan, I'd be looking over to the sideline, like, at every play and be like, put in the rookie.
Yeah.
And I'd just be, like, looking at Dirk, just, like, yelling
or,
at him.
Or he might have done that to Jameis if Jameis was on a run-pass option.
It's
he just wants
true.
He's just been
it's
dying
fun.
To hit somebody.
Quan Alexander is such a fun player.
Yeah.
He's such a great guy that you know, we've talked about over the offseason. You know, you've talked about this. Gerald's talked about it. Other outlets plenty about Quan becoming more of a leader mm-hmm. on this team. And I think this is what we mean. You know, it's not necessarily that the other guys, you know, might not even be doing what you want them to do. It's the fact that when you look up, Quan is either in on a play, making a play himself, or he's celebrating,
mm-hmm.
he's getting people motivated,
yeah.
he's telling people good job, he's telling them maybe what they didn't do here and there. it's leadership all around whether he's making the play or not.
Agreed. Well, and if I'm Mike Smith or Duffner, I'm probably going to take Quan out for a beer and a burger. I just don't know where I'd take him.
I don't know if I would do that. I would take Bo Allen out, our training camp diary subject. You know
that's,
why?
That's another good
Bo
one.
Bo likes beer.
Bo likes beer. Bo knows beer.
Bo knows beer.
And Bo probably knows burgers too. And if he wants to find a good burger, he probably needs to go to Ford's Garage because I'm telling you, they've got every kind of burger you want. Kobe burgers. They have a bison burger. Bison burger. You can pretend you're an American Indian in the 1600s, and you shot a bison, and you ground up the meat, and you made a burger out of it.
I don't know if you shot.
Are we
one
talking
in the
about
1600s?
The right things? The same thing, right? A bison is a buffalo.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what we're talking about here.
Might be a little bit ahead of the. I mean, I don't know if they had muskets back then.
No, I mean, shot them with a bow and arrow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it only took like 38 of them to kill a bison.
What
back
did the
then.
What did the father buffalo say to his son as he left for school?
Not sure.
Bye, son.
Bison.
Well, perfect. You can go have a bison burger at Ford's Garage and chase it down with, I don't know, one of 5 million different beers they have there.
They have a lot of beers.
And, Scott, you're a beer connoisseur.
I am.
It's AKA alcoholic. So what exactly is your beer of choice when you go to Ford's Garage?
I like the Duke's Brown Nose Cold Ale. It's out of Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Nice, light-tasting brown ale. It's not like a little heavy like you would get with the Guinness. They have Guinness there too, which I'm a huge Guinness fan. But that's one of my local favorites. That's the cool thing about Ford's is they do have a lot of selections of local beer, whether it's Coppertail. They've got Reef Donkey from Tampa Bay Brewing Company, which is a really
good. Reef Donkey.
Yeah, very good beer. So, listen, if you want beer and burgers, that's the place in Tampa Bay. And not just in Tampa, with South Tampa as one of their – or I'm sorry, St. Petersburg is one of their new locations. Yep. Lakeland.
Orlando,
they're
spreading Wesley Chapel, Brandon, Estero, up in Dearborn, Michigan. I mean, they're all over the place, and they're growing daily. Make sure when you stop by, you tell them thank you for sponsoring the Pewter Nation podcast. Tell them we sent you over. And hey, when you go there, take a picture, tweet it out, tag Fords, tag Pewter Report so we know. We certainly appreciate it. So, okay.
Well, we're staying on
on
the topic of who's looked really good. I think we have to throw Levante David's name in the mix. Levante. Last year, and I had a chance to talk with him for my SR's Fab 5, which came out on Friday. I asked him point blank. I said, Levante, you didn't have a sack or an interception last year. If I would have came up to you before last year, the start of the season, and said, you're not going to have a sack this year, what would you have done? He said, I would have laughed in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, but you know what? I didn't. Quan didn't. We have to own that. It's a different year. And I really like what Mike Smith has done. They're blitzing Levante a lot more. As an outside edge guy, they're moving Vinny Curry inside and bringing Levante's heat off the edge in nickel blitzes. We've also seen him just be really stout in pass coverage as well. I think Levante's going to be primed for a big year. He's up to 234 pounds.
Wow.
It's the biggest he's ever been.
Yeah.
Usually plays around 225. Shoulders are bigger. He just looks, I mean, no one's going to mistake him for Von Miller, but he looks closer to Von Miller than he did the old Levante. So he is a big physical dude now that's still fast as hell, primed for a big year. And we've seen Mike Smith get really creative with the blitz packages. We saw Javian Elliott come free on a nickel blitz today that would have sacked Jameis Winston. And I like what I've seen so far out of the blitz packages, especially from the nickel corners. And, you know, we saw a play, and I don't want to give up too much intel, but we even saw Brent Grimes back in the OTAs line up in the corner and blitz from that spot as well. So I like the fact that just because you've got these front four guys now, JPP up front with Vinny Curry and Noah Spence and Gerald McCoy, doesn't mean that you're just going to be dropping seven every play and rushing those guys. I think when you have a really good front four, that's when you send the blitz as well, whether it's Quan or Levante or both or nickel corner blitz or safety blitz with Justin Evans or Chris Conte.
But how often are you going to do that? I mean, again,
on third downs.
Okay. I was going
to say because you need to because you're the worst team in the NFL on third downs.
Monty Kiffin didn't blitz a lot, but when he did with Rondé or somebody, it was and he would blitz John Lynch sometimes from the safety position to have him walk down. But it was usually on third down on those obvious passing downs. So
okay,
that makes sense. I mean, I don't want this team to go crazy trying to be the 85 Bears where they're sending 11 guys all the time.
Yeah. Well, if you look at it, when you know, if you can get a free gap, if you can get a free runner like Quan Alexander, if you have JPP inside and you've got Gerald McCoy inside, one of those two guys is going to get doubled. The center is going to go to one of those guys, right? And then if you have JPP on the outside, and if you have five offensive linemen, and you're going to keep it back into pass protect with four receivers out, maybe one of those is a tight end, on third and seven or third and eight, that's when you want to blitz. Because anything after 2.5 seconds, your receiver's going to have the time to go 10 yards and get a first down, right? So you want to get the ball out of the quarterback's hand or drop him after 1 second. And you do that by blitzing, because who's going to get to the quarterback faster? JPP having to work the edge and come around? That can happen in 2 seconds. Or I can just send Quan up the A-gap right in the quarterback's face and have him down in a second. So the whole point is just to overwhelm the offensive line and make the quarterback get rid of the ball before he wants to.
And whoever gets to the quarterback, they need to pull the quarterback down like a boat anchor, guys. Literally.
Absolutely.
Like a boat anchor.
Drop him like a boat anchor.
And if you don't have a boat anchor, there's a great place to go get a boat anchor, because I was just there the other day at TAMahoneyCo.com, but I was at the showroom on 50th Street in Atomo. They've got boat anchors from, if you got a little dinghy, as I would imagine Trevor has a dinghy, to a yacht. I mean, they've got a wide selection of boat anchors. Now, I don't know how many people are in the market for boat anchors, but if you are, they have it. And it really, if you're in the market for anything in the marine industry, T.A. Mahoney's is the place to go. If Trevor's dinghy gets a little hole in it. If his dinghy gets dinged up, he can take his little dinghy thingy and go to T.A. Mahoney's, and they can ding repair his dinghy. Or Trevor could do it, because they sell the fiberglass. Mm-hmm. They sell the cloth. They sell the resin. They sell everything there. And he can get one of those big orange flags so people know that he's paddling around in his dinghy, because he is, a South Tampa guy. He's liable to be involved in Gasparilla next year in his dinghy. But TAMahoneyCo.com, check him out online. Stop in the showroom, whatever you need, from a screw, a little tiny screw you might need, all the way up to a boat anchor for a yacht. T.A. Mahoney has it all since 1948, family-owned and family-operated. T.A. Mahoney, tell them Pewter Report sent you, and thank them also for sponsoring the Pewter Nation podcast. Quick shout-out to Jose, one of the Buccaneer fans today. I'm walking by. Mm-hmm. Somebody says, hey. He says, oh, you're Mark Cook from Pewter Report. Love the podcast. Listen to it every week.
Very cool.
He gets to listen to it twice a week because it's in the season. So we want to say a shout-out to Jose. So if you see Trevor or Scott or myself walking around, holler at us. If you like the podcast, let us know. If you don't like the podcast, then just keep quiet. But if you like the podcast, let us know, and we'll give you a shout-out on the podcast.
Only positive opinions are welcome.
Of course. Just like the reviews on iTunes. We're only going to read the positive ones. Anyway, Trevor, what else? Let's wrap this thing up. We're about done.
Players have the day off tomorrow. It's Monday.
Mark Cook, Scott Reynolds, and Trevor Sikkema don't.
Absolutely.
Correct.
Not.
We're going to be cranking out that fresh content tomorrow.
I'll be doing the mailbag. You'll be doing the cover three for Tuesday.
Brand new Bo Allen training camp diary later tonight. We'll have a Rojo training camp diary tomorrow.
Yep. A lot of good coverage for PewterReport.com. We've been pumping out the content. We want people to go to the website. Listen, we appreciate you following us on Twitter, Instagram, all the social media things.
Mm-hmm.
Just click the link every once in a while. I'm not even asking you to click every link.
You don't have to read the whole story.
I am.
Read the headline. Just click
every link.
First paragraph.
Click every
link.
Twice
even.
Yeah, might as well.
Go back to the page and then click it again.
Absolutely.
If you have a bad memory, it probably would behoove you to reread the story.
Yeah, that's true. So you probably want to click the link more than once. That should be the motto. Pewter Report, where you click the link.
More than once.
More than once. That's perfect. All right, guys, we will be back on Tuesday for training camp, another day of training camp. The players, as Scott said, have the day off tomorrow. Going to get some treatment, rest, and relax a little bit, because this is a grind. It's a grind for us, but it's certainly a grind for those guys. Real quick, being in the indoor facility, I like that. But if you're coming out for a practice, it's different than last year. The setup is completely different.
No
There's
bleachers.
Not a whole lot of shades, yeah, not a whole lot of, so bring a chair, bring a fan, bring a wide brim hat so the sun's not beating you up too bad.
Yep.
I don't know what they allow for umbrellas. Probably not a whole lot, if anything, but bring the sunblock.
If you're bringing
for sure.
your kids out, make sure that they have sunscreen.
Yeah.
Also, make sure that they have a fan to fan you.
Right.
I mean, after all you do for them, you feed them, you clothe them, you house them.
You bring a fan
all of that
for them
stuff.
To fan
the
you.
The least they can do is fan you for 2 hours That's while you watch
right.
a hot practice.
That's right. And bring your leash, too, so you can put the kids on leashes.
Definitely.
Yeah. You don't want them running out there
it's
on the
illegal.
Field. Is it?
Leash your kid?
Well, if it's a child harness, I think that's okay. If it's just like a collar around the neck,
like
probably
a spiked
not.
Dog collar, I don't think they allow that.
Yeah,
but like a harness
be,
thing,
yeah,
I've seen that like at Disney World.
Child
and stuff
harnesses
like that.
Are big time.
Yeah. Right. You can't tape their mouth shut, though. I found that out the hard way. Apparently, my son called and complained to Child Protective Services when he was younger.
So that's a no-no, though.
Yeah, you cannot duct tape the mouths.
Okay.
Anyway, you could back when I was a kid because my parents did it. But anyway, that's why I talk so much now. Making up for lost time.
Way to go, Mr. and Mrs. Cook.
For Scott Reynolds, Trevor Sycamore, Mark Cook, and we'll see you next week or sooner for another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.
Out.